Now, the goal here is for my ladies to get a job. So, having been involved in, you know, recruitment process, what are some of the things that ladies especially should be mindful of?
For talent acquisition, one needs to know that before any employment advert will come out, there are some requirements that the company is looking for. Mainly is to meet a particular need within the organization. As a candidate, what you need to pay attention to is to see the requirements for the role, and then go back into your profile and make sure anything that is connected with what is required that has not been spelled out in your CV is done. Don't get tired. Remember, there are special requirements for every job. Look out for them. And tailor your CVs. Remember all the experience you have that connects with the requirements. Put it on your CV and become the best among the applicants.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode on Lift Ghana Podcast. This podcast has been designed to inspire, to motivate, celebrate, and uplift women in Ghana, in Africa, and across the globe. Today, we have a special guest, Salome Delali Atigla. She's an associate member of the Chartered Institute of Human Resource Management and works with one of the big four accounting and audit firms in Ghana. Salome is also the president and founder of Cherish a Child Foundation, a foundation that seeks to address and solve streetism in Ghana. Salome, I'm so delighted that you accepted my invitation. It's an honor to have you on today's podcast.
It's a pleasure to be on your podcast, Lady Grace. I consider it an honor.
Yeah, it's so good seeing you. You are glowing. You are really, really glowing. I should be an HR soon too. Yeah, Salome, I think I've told you this before some time back that for me, I really see you as someone who is a born and natural HR, because when you were my HR, I saw how, you know, you are so passionate and how you were so diligent about your work. I was like, this lady, I think when God, you know, just said, this is an HR. I think I've mentioned this to you before. I just want to know, how has the journey been like for you growing up as a lady in Ghana? What have been some of the challenges, and what I'm so interested to know, how did you end up in human resource management? Have you always, you know, aspired to be one, and what really motivated you to choose that career? Or it just happened, like you just said, okay, let me just take the HR career. How has the journey been like, and what made you decide to be a human resource personnel?
Thank you, Lady Grace. So I'm Salome Delali Atigla, as I've been introduced. I am a member of a family of six, and the second of four siblings, so four children. Growing up, I have always had the passion to see people develop, help people, see people happy and smiling. And this kind of gave my parents some sort of impression that I was going to grow up to be a nurse, because I exhibited these things towards my younger siblings and cousins.
Okay.
Even as a child myself.
Wow.
So they thought I was going to be a nurse because I shared so much similarities, or should I say qualities, of a nurse.
Yeah.
The caring part of
And
then growing up, I have always known myself as someone who loves challenging jobs, who wants to break the glass ceilings of things that are considered for men.
That's the spirit. I love that.
I always wanted to do something different and unique and challenging. Completed my science program in the secondary.
Oh, you were a science student.
I was a science student.
Science to human resource. Interesting to know.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I knew I love people. I like to help people develop. I like to see people smile.
Mm.
And I knew those very well.
Okay.
And then I knew I love math. So I was looking for programs that will let me do a lot of calculations. So I almost got into marine engineering. I was at the verge of taking decisions, but then I decided to have a little peep into the future, and I realized that marine engineers spend their time in the ship on the sea.
Ooh.
And then knowing the person I was, who loved to be with people, see children develop, develop, like trying to nurture people,
be part of
children.
People's lives.
I realized that I will spend more time with the machines than with people.
Okay.
So I said, no way, I'm not going for this course. After university, I got myself in a shipping company, but destiny placed me in human resource.
Makes sense now. When you said shipping, I was like, oh, you are really meant on going on the sea.
So I was within the shipping company. It's a shipping and oil company.
Okay.
And then destiny placed me within human resource because doing our first year after university in Ghana, you have to do national service, which is a mandatory one.
Yes.
And so you don't have too much
control over the
control over where or which department you are placed. So I was placed within human resource.
And interesting.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I really loved it. Mm. I said, ooh, this allows me to help people. So the unique thing about it was I was also interacting with clients at the same time. I found that fulfillment in solving problems the clients brought on board.
Okay.
And then at the same time, the internal clients, which is our human resource within the company, and it was quite fulfilling being able to help people solve problems. So that's how the human resource started. And then by God's grace, I got into one of the big four companies, firms.
Yeah.
And then that was a more of a development time for me in human resource.
Yeah.
I had gotten a human resource program running.
Okay.
The moment I got in, and then just before I got in, I had started even developing myself in human resource.
Mm.
And so right after the first short program, I just went into the professional certification in human resource. And I have grown, I've seen myself develop in the human resource field.
Okay.
And I've also found a field within human resource that brings everything about me together. That's the HR analytics. So this is where
my math comes in.
And so now I get to see people develop. I have fallen in love with performance management and then human resource analytics. And so these two allows me to be myself. And that's why HR is like a calling for me.
Exactly.
It's like a perfect career for me.
Yeah, I can concur with what the experience I had with you. I mean, I can really concur. I must say, this is a very interesting journey that you had to share there. It's exciting to know. Now, the goal here is for my ladies to get a job. So having been involved in, you know, recruitment process, what are some of the things that ladies especially should be mindful of? I know there are lots of myths around. Some people say that if when you're having your CV, you should have one pager CV and all sort, or you have to have some keywords before you are selected. What are some of the things that ladies generally should be mindful of in the application process and like doing interview as well? What are some of the challenges you have seen so far people go through, like very good people who still don't end up getting the job of their choice? What are some of the things, given your experience, they should be mindful of?
All right. Thank you. That's a good question. So for talent acquisition, one needs to know that before any employment advert will come out, there are some requirements that the company is looking for. Mainly is to meet a particular need within the organization. As a candidate, what you need to pay attention to is to see the requirements for the role, and then go back into your profile and make sure anything that is connected with what is required that has not been spelled out in your CV is done. Just make sure those information are available in your CV.
It's
important in these days to note that most companies are using information management systems, which is recruitment, which they use for their recruitment as well. So we have recruitment systems that will filter and match up requirements, skills, the job description. Against your skill, your experience, your qualifications, to know if you're a best fit. So this is where the key words are very important. You may want to check the advert carefully. There are some key words that are normally within your organization or within your area, or should I say your country. But then when you are targeting opportunities, you don't necessarily need to stick with, let's say, within my organization, HR, or should I say human resource, is known as people and purpose. If you are applying for a job, you don't need to indicate people and purpose and leave out human resource, because people and purpose may not mean the same way in the organization
that you are applying to.
So your CV going through the system, the system is picking keywords like human resource, and they are looking for it against your profile. Here you have quoted what is done in your organization as your experience. So if you are even putting people and purpose as your department, then you need to put into brackets human resource department to make it clear. The system will check how many matches do we have against this CV, and then they will flag you as either score you as a good candidate
or not.
Average or even a poor candidate against the role. So it's important to pay attention to these keywords. Check your job advert. Sure you, for every job advert, you are tailoring your CV
to suit
to use
that.
The right keywords, not to lie. Yes. But then making sure that you have not left out any key information that you have, which is applicable to the particular role. Some people have this mindset of, if I put in all my qualifications, they will think I'm overqualified.
They will
not pick me.
Normally
in drafting CV, they've already left a whole lot out. But if you pick your existing CV for every role, you will notice that along the way, you notice you are not being shortlisted. You are not being shortlisted because what they are looking for against what you have in the CV, others are scoring higher in them.
Those
that are scoring higher. So you just always need to revisit your CV at every job application. Make sure you are highlighting key things
and not just having that generic CV and just dumping it. That's so insightful.
Upload that and go. Or you send that and go. Work on your CV for every application. Make sure relevant informations are in place. And then, because, you know, that's where you even get noticed. If you score higher, that's where you get noticed, because there are a whole lot of applicants and HR professionals. The fact is, do not have the time
to,
flexibility to
go through the thousands and thousands of
do research to understand some of your personal keywords.
Okay.
To know,
okay,
oh, indeed, people and purpose is the same as human resource. So let me go for this candidate.
Okay.
So make it easy for the system to score you higher.
Okay.
They will not go back to people who score low.
Okay.
So let the system pick you because you have used the right keywords.
Okay.
And then once you are noticed, you can now show yourself and project yourself better in the interview.
Yeah, it's true.
So
because
that's very important.
Yeah, yeah. Because sometimes I see people who, like, I mean, in my opinion, right, maybe I have friends who are applying for jobs and they say they are not shortlisted, right? But to me, I know they could have done this job, right? So what you shared is very, very, very enlightening and insightful. So dear ladies, no generic CVs. Make sure you are tailoring it to the keywords. Revisit your CV at any given recruitment you are, you know, looking at. That's very, very insightful, Salome. You mentioned in your introduction that you are very, very passionate about performance management, right? And I know, like I said, you have all the skills. I know you specialize in performance management as well. What message do you have for all of us, myself, we the employees, employers, managers, who are all involved? You know, they are these key players in the performance management process. What message you have? What are some of the, like, key things you have seen through this process? How is communication, feedback, what the entire module, what message you have for all the key players in performance management?
Thank you for the opportunity. So I'm going to start with employers.
Okay.
With performance management, as an employer, you cannot be too busy to invest time in performance management.
Okay.
You cannot be too economical in all the marketing projects over performance management.
Okay.
Or investing all your funds into other things and then leaving performance management aside is the main thing.
Okay.
It's really the main thing. Why do I say that? So normally organizations will invest in their products and their services, and then they forget that all of these products and services would be projected by the people within organizations. So if the people within the organization do not have the right skill, if they do not have the right motivation, if they do not have the right feedback in developing themselves and improving on what they do, then at the end of the day, your wonderful product, your wonderful service will not be seen
exactly.
The potential, or even the client, the existing client, may not be well managed. Eventually your organization is going to be affected. Performance management cannot be overemphasized as essential in organization's performance. And so as an employer, the summary of what I would want every employer to note is that performance management of your organization is as important as the marketing department. It's as important as the sales department.
It's
as important as the operations department.
That's true.
So this is where HR becomes a core department to organization's performance.
So
let me just simply break this down to the employee. If your employees receive the right feedback on areas of development in time. So let me just quickly say this before we get into it.
Okay.
Performance management is not performance appraisal.
Let
me just put that
That's
out
a
there.
Great clarification
so
there.
The performance management we are talking about is not the end of year
appraisal.
Appraisal. We are talking about the journey to end of year appraisal. Is the whole journey.
The whole
From
journey.
The beginning
okay.
of the year,
okay. Makes sense.
The setting of goals.
Okay.
And expectations that goes to employees and how they they meet these goals.
Okay.
Before you even meet them at the end of the year to evaluate them. Ooh. So what activities goes on from the beginning till the end when they are evaluated is what we are talking about.
Mm.
So as an employer, it's important to invest into tools that enable effective and efficient performance management.
Okay.
Tools in this our digital world, mm-hmm. you cannot go paper. Because to ensure effectiveness and mm-hmm. efficiency, documentation is very key.
Oh yeah,
and
that's
this is
true.
What the systems are okay. allowing, and this is the support the systems are giving.
Okay,
so it keeps data safe, it keeps data transparent.
Okay,
and then we are sure of what we are going to mm. use to make decisions at the end of the year
okay.
in terms of the appraisal session.
Mm.
So as an employer, investing in management
systems okay.
performance
is very key.
Is very key.
Mm.
And then the time and invested in managing the employee,
mm-hmm.
ensuring consistent, ensuring all stakeholders are playing their part.
Yeah.
So, from managers,
okay.
managers are playing their part.
Okay.
And then the employees are playing their part.
Yeah.
Throughout the journey.
Okay.
So now coming down to managers, what part is the manager playing?
Doing, yeah.
As a manager,
mm-hmm.
you are an HR in the sense of the manager.
Because
exactly. you're managing human resources.
Oh, okay.
And every manager is a human resource manager.
Mm.
Because you have a team
exactly,
that
you
need to manage.
Okay,
to ensure
that's right.
Their work is connecting with the goals of the organization.
Mm.
So the organization meets its goals.
Okay.
So every manager has a key role. And in our days, in today,
mm-hmm.
the retention of employee is like the headache of every organization. And so managers, and this is... In the whole nutshell, managers are playing key role in employee retention.
Okay.
And the way you manage your employees will determine how long they will stay.
They will stay,
You know what? Employees are not leaving organizations. They are leaving people.
People.
Who are the people they are leaving? The people they are reporting into, the people managing.
Yeah,
them.
That's true. That's
are the
right.
the people they are leaving. So as a manager, it's important to ensure you are giving very fair feedback.
Okay.
Employee performance.
Okay.
You are given real time
feedback
on areas of development and strength. Because what the strength is doing is going to motivate the employee that they are doing well in these areas. And so it gives them some spirit of motivation to keep going. The areas of development should be communicated constructively.
Okay.
So constructive feedback of areas of development is also key for employees to get those areas sorted out quickly. So at the end of the year, we are getting a very good feedback, which is going to enable progression.
Okay.
And then the employees are constantly engaged because they are happy, motivated.
That's true.
They are rewarded for areas they have worked on.
Exactly.
And the contribution they have given to the organization. So as an employee, now coming down to employees, you need to own your own performance management.
Mm.
Your superiors, your managers are very busy.
Yeah.
But then the career is your own.
Your career is
it's your
own.
Career.
Mm.
So
yeah.
Captain your own career.
Captain your own
and
career.
Mm. How you are going to captain your career is being proactive to seek for feedback.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This is like I'll call this I'm looking for the right word, but basically what I'm trying to point out is a secret I'm giving to you as an employee.
Okay.
Secret to progression.
Mm.
take it as a secret to progression. Be proactive.
Okay.
Go to your superior. Ask, what am I, after every task, okay, after every project, after every engagement,
yeah,
go to your employer, your manager, I mean, okay, and then ask, what did I do well and what didn't I do well?
Yeah.
Get quick and real-time feedback.
Feedback, okay.
And quickly work on those areas of development before the next assessment.
Okay.
And if I'm talking about the next assessment, I'm not even talking about the end of year assessment.
The
if
next
you
time.
Belong to an employee and an organization that conducts quarterly reviews, conducts media reviews.
Yeah.
So before the next quarter review,
you would have improved on your
is sorted out. Exactly. And that cannot get into your assessment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is the secret, the secret to progression I'm giving
you. We love this secret.
Get it early.
Get it early.
The feedback early.
Mm.
Work on it before the next mini assessment. So nothing goes on record.
Unrecognized.
Of your areas of development.
Okay. Okay.
So now the strength areas, leverage on them and play it out. Because you'll be seen in your strength and then it gives you the good impression that will let people also treat you as a star within your organization.
Leverage
on your strength.
Leverage on
and
your strength.
Areas of development, get the feedback early, work on it before it gets into an assessment.
An assessment.
And then if you keep doing this continually throughout the year, there's no way a manager is going to get into your review to now assess and put all negatives, the negative feedback that would come out as a decision.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that's true.
That is... a secret I need to let you have. My ladies, we need to shine wherever we are.
We need to shine. We need to shine, ladies.
So, use this as a secret. Get your areas of development developed in time before the next assessment.
Okay.
Leverage on your strengths and shine and let everybody see you as a star.
Yeah,
lady within your organization.
That's amazing.
At the end of the financial year.
We just finished a whole PhD class in performance management. That's so amazing. Captain your own career. Going straight into your foundation now, I want to talk about Cherish a Child Foundation. I find it so exciting, and you know, I find it so exciting when I see people trying to impact people's life directly, because it resonates with me a lot. I think in one of my episodes, I shared how challenging life was for my mom and I growing up. It was it was really tough. So in the space of, you know, monetary wise, every time there are people who need to go home for school fees, my name will be part. I need to go home. And thinking of it, I think I even remember when I was in nursery, my mom and I literally went to beg the headmistress of the nursery because we couldn't afford that. Please give us some time, right? And this went on and on through my junior high, through my senior high. There were times teachers had to come in to help me pay my fees, right? And sometimes some friends. It was really challenging. Sometimes the emotional and the mental stress that it put on me, right? Until I came into contact with a foundation called the Kesed Foundation. Thank you, Kesed Foundation Ghana, for everything you did for us. It was a foundation that supported brilliant but needy students like me. And once I encountered the organization, that was like a turnaround for all the educational stress and the hurdles I had. My school fees, every time my school fees got paid on time, when I got to the university, I was put in the best hostel in the University of Ghana through this foundation. And I saw how a lot of people, about 200 students who encountered this organization, most people are thriving and doing very well. I mean, looking at myself, I'm an example of the success of Kesed Foundation. And what you are doing with the street children is mind-blowing. And I'm so excited. I'm so proud of you for taking this step. I want to know, how did this all begin? What really inspired you to go into streetism?
All right, thank you. So with the Cherish a Child Foundation, I would say I take it as an assignment. I took it as an assignment. Mm-hmm. And I still take it as an assignment from God. I had no prior knowledge of streetism. Mm. I just found myself in front of my screen one evening during the news, and then I heard that some street children were gathered and taken into the social welfare department in Accra, Ghana. And prior to that, I had met just three boys I saw loitering around around my bank when I was going to cash some money. Those times, ATMs were not so popular. Mm-hmm. So I chanced on these three guys, and then they begged for money. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I will get back to them when I'm returning from the bank. And so I got out, and then the guy, the first story he gave me with regarding his needs was changed. So he was not telling me that, sorry, I want to tell you the truth. Actually, I'm a stubborn boy. I don't even know what happened. He started opening up to me that it's not that he doesn't have a family, but he was very stubborn and he's afraid to go back home. So I met the other two friends, and then another gave me another version that he had to run away from home because of some sort of ritual attack that the family from the father's side wanted to do against him and the mother, because the mother was accused of killing the father. So he found himself on the street because of trying to escape the attack. That was one version of it. Then the other boy, so I noticed there were different reasons why there are boys on the street. Some are not homeless, some are poor and needy, some are running for rescue. So along the journey, I have also I encountered different stories where others thought they were coming to make ends meet, trying to come and raise funds for schooling, for vocational training, and then ended up on the streets because along the journey, the process of raising the funds required them to deal with shyness. And dealing with shyness, they had to get into drug abuse. And so at the end of the day, they ended up and they were stuck on the street because they've become addicted to the drugs. And then the vision of coming to raise funds on the street just ended. So all of these are what drives me to want to do more to support the needy street children. And interesting. For those that are just running away from home for fear of maybe a situation at home, we try to put them into shelters.
Impressive.
Are just following friends, like the one that told me he's a stubborn boy. we take them through reformation programs, transformation programs to reform them and then reintegrate them back to the family. So that's what Cherish a Child has been all about.
Okay.
So we carry some sort of agency in doing this work because we know how much a day on the street can affect someone's
that's true
because that very day, if the child gets into drug addiction abuse to manage shyness, to raise funds, to eat on the streets, then that one time can lead to an addiction that will
last for a lifetime. Exactly.
So we've also seen street children being knocked down by cars
exactly,
trying to raise money on the street. So this is what drives myself and my team to want to go every length to see how we can make life better for these ones, and then to transform some of these ones that need reorientation before we even enroll them into programs. So that's what inspires us.
This is amazing. I would like to encourage you to keep it up. I want to know, maybe as we wrap up, what challenges do you encounter with this? I mean, you have the good mindset, you know, you're trying to get them. What has been some of the key challenges you've faced in this journey?
The key challenge we face is really not about, it's really not just about getting people to go on the street. But the major challenge we have encountered is where we have done the work, working on the street children, and it gets to the point of accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to the point of getting sponsors.
Okay.
It gets to the point of even sometimes taking them back home. So mm-hmm. the transportation of these children from one place, one street corner to where their family can be found is has been a major, major challenge.
Okay.
So we have programs that carries children to a place, maybe a temporary place we have rented
or
we have been sponsored to use for a period of time.
Mm.
And then after we have taken them through the transformation program and they are ready, they have made up their minds to be helped, and then we need to carry on some further, you know, rehabilitation
programs, for them,
and then for them, and then accommodation comes as a challenge because this will require us to host them for months, to host them for as long as they are going through the program.
Okay.
And then we face this bridge that we need to cross, which is where to house them. There are some shelters that will want to take some
of the
boys, but they have their own internal rules.
And
they have a limit on the age.
Okay.
Sometimes the paperwork processing is it's not 1 day, 2 day process, so it would take a while to even get the paperwork done.
Okay.
So in this waiting time, you either have to let the boy go back to wherever they were.
Yeah, that's true.
And then that becomes, I mean, when we face the bridge and it's so difficult to accommodate all of them, we can just accommodate a few in other support facilities. And then the rest sadly have to go back to wherever they were. And that is the moment where I shed tears.
That's
progress.
Mm-hmm.
And we are limited with how many people we can accommodate. So then they have to go back, and then the work have to start
all over again.
So at this point, when I see when we have set programs and I have to see some of them go back to the streets, I really
it's so saddening.
So that's one of our major challenge accommodation. And the transportation of these, you know, the street boys are not gathered in one place.
Yeah.
There are a lot of
all over
streets in Accra.
So yeah.
If we have to do more, then we need our own source of transportation to be able to move faster and meet more people.
Yeah.
Even as we take them through counseling, continuous counseling, and discipleship as well. So we also believe strongly in using the word of God to transform
them.
The minds of children.
Yeah.
As the holy book or the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we know transformation starts with renewing of mind, and so we take them through discipleship as well.
Okay.
So that they get a new sense of purpose.
They see
their true self, their true identity.
Than
what they've have imagined.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can carry this value to pursuing something, education,
yeah,
or maybe any career, vocational ambition.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then we are here to support. Mm-hmm. So we need mm-hmm. sponsors.
Yeah.
We can, as a foundation, we can only do more with more help.
Yeah, that's true.
Others. So
that's true.
We need sponsors for these boys that yeah. have gone through our programs. We need any form of support that can make
any
it
form.
Easier.
Yeah.
Accommodation cannot be
overemphasized. Exactly.
As one of the exactly. key things we need in our programs.
Yeah.
So we call on you all to partner with us to do more.
For anyone out there, if you want to support Cherish a Child Foundation, you are gladly and warmly welcome. I think you have a program coming up. Maybe we can play it for people to see.
Cherish a Child Foundation presents Cherish Transformation Camp 2023, a camp dedicated to reaching out to street-connected children and youth. Teamed, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Cherish Transformation Program has become a major life transforming program for street-connected children and youth in Ghana as their minds are renewed from vices, drug addiction, sexual slavery, and idleness to the street to salvation, education, and vocational training. We achieve this through counseling, monitoring, skills training, career coaching, support to overcome addiction, medical support, prayers, inspiration, discipleship, and many more. Are you passionate about contributing towards making an impact in the life of others? Are you a Christian professional with a willingness to mentor and impart knowledge to the struggling and less privileged? Then this is a course you will be happy to be part of. Get in touch today. To register as a volunteer or sponsor, email us at cherishachild7@gmail.com or call or WhatsApp us at +233 20 630 6343 or +233 20 09 85 937. It's a 1 week camp. Date 24th to 30th December 2023. Venue, Accra, Ghana. Book your volunteering dates now. Cherish a Child Foundation. We say be part of a life-changing cause.
We call on anyone who wants to support, anyone who wants to volunteer to help these street children get off the streets, find purpose, find their identity, and find who really they are to pursue something for themselves, to pursue a purpose, to get to the higher height they are created to get to, right? Thank you. It's been great having you, Salome. It's been so inspiring learning your journey and giving us those wonderful tips about recruitment, about performance management, and sharing light on what you are doing with the Cherish a Child Foundation. What are your last words to our ladies who are listening to us right now? Anyone struggling? Anyone who wants to get to somewhere in life? Anyone who has a passion to do something but is not, you know, getting the support or is afraid to take certain steps? What are your final words to our ladies out there?
Okay. My final words to our ladies out there, as a lady, you are special. You are powerful. You are intelligent.
Intelligent.
We've been created as such. We are created to make things better.
Yeah.
We are created to turn things around.
Yeah, that's true.
Even the fact that you have a womb tells you you are creative,
because
the creation of human being happens within you.
Yeah, that's true.
I just want to inspire all ladies to keep pushing,
keep moving.
Never let one failure put you down. When you fall 10 times, get up 10 times.
Yeah.
If you research about people who have made it in life, you will know that along their journey, they were failing moments.
Yeah.
But then the end of it is what matters. It's not that you failed, it's what you made out of the failure.
That's true.
I sit here and I'm very passionate about certain things because especially if it comes to performance management, I am very passionate about it because I have also grown over time.
Yeah.
And I have seen some failing moments in my life.
Yeah.
And I sit here and I'm passionate because I do not want to let this just fall to the ground. But I want to use it and channel it into positive positive results and impact.
Yeah.
So we want everybody to know what is important to do as a manager, what is important to do as an employee, what is important to do as an employer. And then if you are in an employment and you feel that you are not being appreciated and you feel like you want to quit, today I sit here and I tell you, do not quit.
Yeah.
Sometimes our development processes are different. So others are being promoted. If you are not promoted, do not quit.
Yeah.
Look out for what is in for me.
Yeah.
There are sometimes you just have to stay and learn.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
true.
Sometimes you just have to stay and develop some skills.
That's true.
Sometimes the process for you is within where you are looking to move. Some things get tough in areas where most of the time, how do I put this? Sometimes when a woman is about to give birth and we know that there are contraction moments.
Yeah.
So those painful moments are most of the time close to your birthing. And so if you do not look out for what is in and you just want to move with the wind that says, if it's not working for you, just go. You may miss out on certain important things.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's important to move on when it's time, but be careful to know, is it time for me to move?
Yeah.
Or is it time for me to stay and learn?
Yeah.
Because sometimes even the learning process may not be for you, but it may be for a purpose.
Yeah.
You may be the one, sometimes you have to go through it so that when you are counseling and consulting for somebody, you can easily tell the gaps. You can easily tell where to fix the issue because you have been there before. You have been a victim before. So this is just my, in summary, on people who are in employment, who are looking forward to growing, looking forward to progression.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a moment of development.
Yeah.
Be careful to know. If it's time for you to move, and move.
Okay.
If it's time for you to stay and learn, don't let somebody's rising be a pain for you to walk out of what is really meant for
you.
So I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense, but then I think those that it's meant for will be able to appreciate what I've just said.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be there to understand.
Understand, exactly. Thank you. So, thank you so much.
For those looking for jobs,
don't
get tired.
Don't get tired.
Remember, there are special requirements for every job.
Yeah.
Look out for them.
Okay.
And tailor your CVs. Remember all the experience you had that connects with the requirements.
Yeah.
Put it on your CV and become the best among the applicants. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you so much. You're amazing, Salome. Thanks for the wise words. Don't give up. Don't quit yet. Don't give up. If you fall 10 times, rise up 10 times. We appreciate these wise words. It was exciting having you ladies tune in to today's podcast. I hope you have learned a lot. If you are yet to subscribe to this channel, please do so. There are many, many amazing stuff to share with you. Until we meet again on the next episode, it's bye for now.